And her artwork here, I'm going to just raise it here. So I hope all of you had a great Thanksgiving time. Correct? We thank the Lord for giving us safety in our journeys. Many of you traveled. Many of you ate well. So I'm glad that we all stayed safe on the road and in the homes, not falling sick. All right? I hope you read between the lines what I'm trying to say. Let's open our Bibles to Revelation chapter 4 and 5. You know, as we have just remember, celebrated as Thanksgiving, you know, we're all thankful for something, isn't it? I mean, that's a normal cliche. You know, we sit around the table, perhaps talk about what has happened in our lives and perhaps what the Lord has done in our lives and share good thoughts and perhaps emotional moments. And partake from the table and have good fellowship, fun games and discussions. And that's about Thanksgiving, you know, which is very general. You know, when I was preparing for the message, I thought there is a yet another Thanksgiving that we could see in the scriptures in a whole different context. And these two chapters in Revelation came to mind about Thanksgiving. And as I go along, you will realize why I chose this as a part of Thanksgiving. Okay? One has to remember that revelation of the Lord Jesus to John, that was revealed by the Holy Spirit, has got a very distinct character to that. You see, the first three chapters, the Holy Spirit showed John about certain things that are happening on this earth, about the churches. You know, the strengths and the weaknesses, the admonition, reprimanding, and the compliments that the Lord Jesus had to say about these churches. And then he moves from chapter 3 to chapter 4 and 5. It's almost like a little linking event that takes place when John is taken into the heavens from the earth to see something that is awesome. Before chapter 6 starts, when the Lord Jesus starts revealing the judgment upon this earth. And I thought that was very interesting. He talks about how the Lord Jesus is so anxious to show forth to his children what he is and what he's going to do. But then before he does show what he's going to do, he really wants to talk who he is in his awesomeness. I thought that was very nice. I think I need to be thankful to that, isn't it? He not only showed himself as the Lamb on Calvary, but he's also willing to show me as the Lion of Judah. That's exactly what chapter 4 and 5 talks about. We're going to see something that is explicitly great. As the door opens into the heaven. So that's where we're going to pick up the truth here. Let's open our Bibles to Revelation 4, reading from verse 1. I'm going to read the entire chapter 4 and 5. Okay, I would like you to open your Bible. I'm going to read from New American Standard Version. After these things, remember the word after. This means that after the revelation of the churches and its status, John had a different revelation here. After these things, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I had heard, like the sound of a trumpet speaking with me, said, "Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after these things." Immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was standing in heaven, and one sitting on the throne. And he who was sitting was like a jasper stone, and a sardius in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne, like an emerald in appearance. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and upon the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white garments and gold crowns on their heads. Out from the throne comes flashes of lightning and sounds and peals of thunder. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne there was something like a sea of glass, like crystal, and in the center and around the throne, four living creatures, full of eyes in front and behind. The first creature was like a lion, the second creature like a calf, the third creature had a face like that of a man, and the fourth creature was like a flying eagle. And the four living creatures, each one of them having six wings, are full of eyes, around and within, and day and night they do not cease to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, who was and who is and who is to come." And then the living creatures gave glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, to him who lives forever and ever, to the 24 elders will fall down before him who sits on the throne and will worship him who lives forever and ever, and will cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Worthy are you, O Lord, our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and because of your will they existed and were created." Chapter 5. I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a book written inside and back, sealed up with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to break its seals?" And no one in heaven or earth or under the earth was able to open the book or look into it. Then I began to weep greatly, because no one was found worthy to open the book or look into it. And one of the elders said to me, "Stop weeping. Behold, the lion that is from the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has overcome, so as to open the book and its seven seals." And I saw between the throne with the four living creatures and the elders a lamb standing as if slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent out into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. When he had taken the book, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the lamb, each one holding a harp and golden bowl full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, "Worthy are you to take the book, to break its seals, for you were slain and purchased for God with your blood men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. You have made them to be kingsmen and priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth." Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne and living creatures around the elders. And the number of them was myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And every created thing which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea, all the things in them I heard saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and dominion forever and ever." And last verse, and the four living creatures kept saying, "Amen," and the elders fell down and worshipped. What a great scene, isn't it? What a great scene. Before the Lord had plans to cast his judgments with number of bowls, here we have a great scene about the Lamb. You know, if you look into the Bible, there are only two times in the Old Testament that is mentioned directly related to the Lord Jesus about lamb. There's only two times in the Gospels that directly relates the Lord Jesus in terms of the lamb. Two times in the epistles, but there are 28 times mentioned in the Revelation about the lamb, the Lord Jesus. Which means that that is important for us to know. It's important for us to see what's going to happen in eternity as this lamb is going to be worshipped. So we're going to call today's contemplation as the Lion of Judah and the Lamb of Calvary. And I would like to take that two chapters and break it into three divisions. And we're going to see how John saw that as a great discovery. When he opened his eyes, he saw something that is so great. And he heard a great doxology, didn't he not? A great doxology. And finally, he saw a great dichotomy. He discovered something great that he had not seen on this earth. It was a blessing for John to see the great, great throne. That was a discovery for him. He had never seen a throne before. When the Lord Jesus was with him on this earth, he was a man. He was a servant. And he was a messenger. But never he saw a throne where the God of creation sat and saw him in his entirety. In chapter 4, we see that great throne depicting the government, the way God runs the whole universe that is seen and that is not seen. In chapter 5, you see the throne to be depicted as a throne of grace. When we see the lamb that was slain. In chapter 4, we see that he's been worshipped as the Lord of creation. In chapter 5, you see that same concept as the Lord of Calvary. So he's not only the one who created the universe, who sits on the throne, but he's also one who gave his life on the cross of Calvary. He's still the Lord who sits on the throne. And you see that when John saw this throne, it was an amazing scene. And when he turned his eyes around, all he saw actually was just a throne. And we see that the depiction of the throne and the characters about this jasper and the sardius, you know, talking about the holiness and about the grandeur of God. Those are the terms used here. He was very blessed to see that. And then not only saw the great throne that he could not forget, but he also saw a great throng, a great crowd of things happening around the throne. He saw the 24 elders. He saw those great creatures, and I think they are cherubims, you know, doing something around the throne. And they were busy worshiping. You see, the first time these great creatures are mentioned actually is in the Garden of Eden, isn't it? When the Lord had to bring about these great creatures, the cherubims, to guard against the Garden of Eden because there was a major breach that took place in God's creation. Sin entered, and God had to close the area of holiness, close the area where he depicted to be his place to visit people with cherubims. So those cherubims then were guarding that which God had preserved. But if you look at this scene, when John had a vision of the throne, they were guarding the throne not to avoid John to come close to the throne, is to avoid his holiness. And I thought that was interesting. And we also see the cherubims mentioned in the tabernacle when they were then at the seat of mercy, where God met the people of Israelites. They were guarding that. But if we come to Revelation chapter 4, they were worshiping him audibly. They were calling day and night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who is and who was and who is to come." They have one theme, and the theme was to proclaim God's nature, his character, because they found that he's holy. He was holy, is holy, and will be holy. And that was the cry of these cherubims. So that was an unforgettable throng, a crowd of people who were crying out. And then you see later in chapter 5, the beginning, when John saw this great crowd and a great throne, he also saw the great thrill that went out. He heard a great cry. And what was the cry? Who is worthy? Who is worthy? You see, when you were to imagine yourself to stand before a person who has something to give you, and he asks you, are you worthy to receive this particular object I'm going to give you? Or he will throw out the invitation to anybody around you to say, who is worthy to receive the object or the gift that I have in my hand? Who's worthy? And I think if you imagine, that was the call went out while John was standing to the entire heavenly host there. Who's worthy to take the scroll? Of course, this thrill of questioning, the thrill of challenge that as it went out, certainly John heard a great silence. There was no answer. In the heavens and on earth, there was no answer because nobody was worthy. Nobody was worthy to take the scrolls, the title deeds of this earth, of this the creation of God.
And of course, John, looking at the whole scenario being so grim, he started weeping. Verse 4, then I began to weep greatly because no one was found worthy to open the book and to look into it. Not even Abraham. Perhaps he was there. He was silent. Not even Elijah. Perhaps he was there. He was not worthy. Or perhaps Daniel. Or Peter. Or Paul. No one was found worthy to take the scroll and to open and to look into it. And finally, what happened? Now the elders came to John. He said, don't weep. Stop weeping. There he is, that moment of thanksgiving. I see your agony. I see your discouraged heart because you can't find anybody on the current scenario to alleviate or lighten your heart by taking this scroll from his hand. But stop weeping. Earth, you and I have no hope to enter into heaven. So that great discovery John had was about the throne and about the crowd of people around the throne. And he saw the great cry that went out, the thrill that went out. That led into a great doxology. And as the Lamb took the title deeds, as he took the scroll and opened it, verse 8, Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says, when he had taken the book, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each one holding the harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints, and they sang a new song. And here's a doxology, the great doxology. Worthy are you to take the book, to break its seals, for you were slain and purchased for God with your blood. Men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation, you made them to be kingdom and praise to our God, and will reign upon the earth. If you look at that particular song and compare to chapter 4, verse 11, you see that the Lord has been worthy because he created the universe. But then chapter 5, verse 9, the Lord is worthy because he blood. So he's not only the Lord of creation, but he's the Lord at Calvary, who bought us. That is our great doxology, isn't it? He's not only the creator, but then when we fell, when we sinned against God, we have a Lamb. We have a great Savior who was slain to purchase us by his precious blood. It must have been a great sin of relief for these elders and the 24 elders and people who saw the event around the throne to see this Lamb, ultimately to rescue them, ultimately to bring about happiness and joy and comfort as they saw this person took the title deeds in his hand because he had purchased them. He had purchased them his precious blood. You see that great dichotomy. What I mean by that is actually when John saw, he looked at two different levels of grandeur. Number one is in verse 11, after he saw the Lamb being glorified as the doxology was sung, then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne and the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them were myriads of myriads, thousands of thousands, saying, "The Lord was worthy is the Lamb that was slain." The dichotomy here is that the worship song and the praises and the glorification of the Lamb began at the very center, at the very epicenter of happening in the heavens, isn't it? So that's a big dichotomy. It started from the center. Recognized him as the Lamb that was slain. The creatures around the throne worshipped him. And that God infiltrated into the periphery. Because verse 13 says that every created thing which is in heaven and on earth, under the earth and the sea, and the things I heard saying to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, be blessing and honor and glory and dominion forever and ever. So you see what happened there? The great song, the new song, began at the throne. The elders recognized the slain Lamb as the one who rescued them. And then later on, we see that there, chapter verse 13, the Holy Spirit uses a great picture of the ends of the earth joining this song, this great new song, to worship that Lamb that was slain. I thought that was very neat, isn't it? Not only the examples happens around the throne, but the example is going to happen around the universe. That which is seen, which is not seen. And that is a great dichotomy. God the Father did not just reserve this particular excitement around the throne, but he's given the joy of being able to see this grandeur to be seen one day to the entire universe. summary, you know, if you look at our lives and on a daily basis, we've got to be so thankful, isn't it? Not only that we've been created unto the good works, but we've been cleansed. We've been promised to be with Him forever and ever. He did not even spare to show the grandeur that has been kept for us. As we enter into His presence, when we shall see Him, we will see all the glory of the Lamb as it is. Because after chapter 5, you see in Revelation, you will see the judgment being dispensed by God the Father into this sin-stricken world. But aren't we so glad and be fair and are thankful that He chose us to reveal Himself by the work of His Son, Lord Jesus Christ? John was terrified. At the same time, he was so much relieved that this Jesus that he had seen on this earth is a Lamb of God. That is all the glory in heaven. So in closing, shall we sing that hymn? I think it's 105. Sing that.